Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Be sure to use it to your advantage. It's free. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you in. You can listen to the archives of all the shows we've done the past many, many years. We got thousands of those up there, and thousands of articles, lots of good stuff on the homepage there, the blog. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Stuart Scorman is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He is not only the author of Confessions of a Serial Entrepreneur, he is that guy. He's a serial entrepreneur. He's the guy who founded the company called Real.com. And also he founded a bunch of other companies that I'm sure you've heard about, and including some that didn't do so well. Some were wildly successful and some not so well. And that's the reason I'm glad he's here. He can tell us about both of those. Stuart, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
Empire Video, was that another company you formed?
Actually, that was my first real company that I formed, and I'm very proud of it. It started with a little hole-in-the-wall video store in Manchester Center, Vermont, and it grew from there into six stores eventually that became the highest volume video stores in the country.
Wow.
And so I was very proud of the small business that you know, we did so well in the small towns where we operated.
Right. Now, that was Vermont, but you're in San Francisco now.
That's right. I'm a kind of a crazy person that needs a lot of stimulation. And so all my businesses start very small, but it turns out I like to try to invent new businesses, and so
right.
some of them get very big. My latest one, Elephant Pharmacy, actually was an example of a company that started very small, but
right.
It's getting pretty big.
Well, good. You're still operating it, aren't you?
No, actually, I'm not doing Elephant anymore. That was my last startup, and I left that about a year ago. And now I'm actually starting a new company, which is a Web 2.0 company.
Right. Tell us what you mean by Web 2.0.
Well, everybody's got a different meaning of what Web 2.0 means, but for me, it means that the web has really changed in terms of it's much cheaper and easier to build a website now than it was a few years ago, and also the web has gotten much bigger in terms of a much bigger market, and so it just has many more opportunities for small and not so small businesses to get started.
But it also means a couple of other things, I think, Stuart, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. I think it means... It has to do with the way the connection is made with customers, with users. In the old days, customers came to us. I think Web 2.0 is more about pushing things out to customers. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. It's about the information age, and customers are much better informed, and so they're more likely maybe to go to a business that has better service because they have so much more information.
Another thing that I think is very much a part of Web 2.0, I don't hear a lot of people talking about this, but I've been talking about it now for a while, and that is, in my opinion, Web 2.0 should be more about trust, meaning that I'm going to find the people online that I feel like I can trust, and that's what I'm going to demand from those people. What do you think?
I absolutely agree that it gets to be this, you know, the sharing of information and getting to know who you're dealing with, and wanting to do business with people that are dealing directly with other people versus, you know, big machines or big organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I honestly think that, well, actually what I think Web 3.0 is going to be is mixing people back together with the computers and allowing a lot of opportunity for people to interact with each other and to create really a caring service.
I agree with you. Let's talk about some of your experiences. Now, you've had some great successes. Empire Video was successful, although that was really a state of small business. But then you created with a company called Real.com that was wildly successful.
That's right. I got very lucky. You know, I was I just happened to be in the right place at the right time here in San Francisco when the .com boom happened, and Real.com was really the first video store on the web. You know, the precursor of what you you now know of as Netflix.
Right.
And so I was just a lucky guy. You know, I'd had a big background in my small stores in Vermont, so I really knew how customers interacted with movies, and, you know, I had a really strong background. And I managed to take that background and put it online just at the right moment and sold the company 2.5 years later for $100 million.
When did you sell it? That company
in 1998.
That was a perfect timing for you.
Yeah, I was very lucky. And
you were lucky to get out when you did, because that was actually the quintessential day of what I call the dot bomb era.
Yeah.
What Charles McKay in 1848 would have called extraordinary popular delusions and the madness of crowds. That was what was happening back in those days. So you did good on that one. But then, you know, no disrespect, Stuart, but what are the chances that you said, you know what, I'm so smart, I can do anything?
You know,
and you did something else, and that next thing didn't work out so well, did it?
No, I lost millions and millions of dollars. My next company was called HungryMinds.com,
yeah.
And I tried to be idealistic and save the world and create education that was for the masses.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, I agree with what you're saying. It was just what I call an entrepreneur's ego trip, and I made a big mistake, and, you know, I was overconfident in terms of my own abilities, and so maybe I needed a big failure to be able to learn that lesson that I wasn't Superman and that you can't just start any business.
Because when you were so successful, you thought it was because you were so smart, didn't you? You didn't realize that it was partially because you were smart, but partially because your timing was just so darn good.
I absolutely agree, and I really take the lesson to heart. You know, having such a big failure at Hungry Minds, you know, there were 80 people that worked there that lost their jobs, and so, you know, take it very seriously that you have such a big impact on the world, and so that was a mistake that I hope I've learned a lot from.
If you had written a book after you sold Real, the title would have been Worship Me, I'm Great, right? But now that you failed once, at least once, you have a different perspective on life. And so now what you have to say, and this is what I was saying in my opening monologue, Stuart, that you may have heard, now what you have to say is incredibly valuable, whereas in 1999, I'm not so sure it would have been.
You're absolutely right. One of the things I'm most proud of this book, Confessions, is that my former psychotherapist, Sonia, was actually a major part of helping me write it. And I hope I'm setting a good example for other people out there, because we're all a little bit crazy sometimes and we could use some help, you know.
Well, you can't be a really effective entrepreneur if you're not just a little wacko. Right?
I absolutely agree. In fact, the closing line of my book says that you need to be just a little bit crazy.
Well, you know, there's a word that we never use around in my organization, Stuart. We never use the word normal around because it doesn't apply to anything. It can be regular. You can use the word regular, but not normal. Hold on to that thought, Stuart. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I want to talk to Stuart about this thing, this failure, and how he's balancing the failure experience and the success experience together, and what you and I can learn from that. And I'm also going to ask him about what he thinks about mentors. He has some thoughts on that. 20 after, I'm Jim Blasingame. The book is called Confessions of a Serial Entrepreneur. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and having a great visit with our new friend, soon-to-be old friend, Stuart Scoreman. Stuart's got a lot to teach us, and we're not going to get all of it out of his head today. We'll have to get him back again another day and do another installment of this. Stuart, and by the way, folks, his book is called Confessions of a Serial Entrepreneur, Why I Can't Stop Starting Over by Stuart Scoreman, S-K-O-R-M-A-N. Stuart, where's the book available? Give us your website, please.
My website is stuartscoreman.com. And the book's available pretty much everywhere, I hope. You know, certainly Amazon, but I think most of the other bookstores have it by now, too.
Check it out, folks, and you'll learn some stuff there. Stuart, what would you say you've learned? You learned the most about failing and that was a pretty big spin crash and burn, wasn't it?
Oh, that Hungry Minds was, you know, I lost about half of my money, and all my friends lost a lot of money. And as I say, you know, 80 people lost their jobs. So, you know, us entrepreneurs can have a really big impact on other people.
Yeah.
And so I think because we have such a big impact, we almost owe it to the rest of the world. I mean, not even just ourselves, but we owe it to the rest of the world that when we make a mistake, our job is to learn from it. You know, now we're human beings, you know, human beings make mistakes, and so you have to know that too. But when you make it, there has to be a benefit. And the benefit really has to be, you know, can you do it differently next time?
Are you afraid of failure now?
You know, I've had so much failure in my life that maybe that's my strong point in the business world, that I'm not really, you know, I'm not afraid to just jump into something. My favorite advice when I'm mentoring young entrepreneurs, I start off by saying, I never make the same mistake any more than three or four times in a row. And as part of starting a business is knowing you're a human being and knowing that you're going to make mistakes. But as they say, the obligation is to try to learn from them.
Well, you know, fear of failure is not fear can be a motivator, but isn't the key to managing, isn't the key to being successful is the ability to manage failure? And by that I mean, and this is where I come back to something, and I'm going to tie this into the mentor thing right now, Stuart. They don't call me the king of Segway for nothing. One of the things that one of my mentors told me is make lots of decisions. And what he was trying to tell me is if you make lots of decisions, you'll make more and more of them. More and more of your decisions will be smaller decisions. And if every decision could be successful or a failure, if you make a small decision and it's a failure, it's a small failure, and not a big one. What do you think?
Very much so. Just because you try something doesn't mean you have to stick to it. And so once you try something new, it's your job to go back and look at what you tried and to really see if it's working. And if it's not working, by God, change it. You know, don't get married to it. Don't nail it down too hard until you're sure that it's right.
You, in your book, you talk a lot about mentors. I just mentioned something I learned from one of mine. Tell us about your thoughts on mentors.
You know, I had a mentor, Anthony Harnett, who owned Bread and Circus. And one time I made a big mistake when I was working for him, and it cost thousands and thousands of dollars. And he just looked at it and he checked it out to make sure that we couldn't fix the mistake. And then he just moved right on to the next subject. And I said, Anthony, I just blew $20,000 of your money, and aren't you going to get mad at me, or you know what's going on here? And he says, no, you did everything you could do, and it's water under the bridge, and now we have to talk about something else. Mm-hmm. And the way he could just brush off all that money and just kind of move on to the next subject in 5 seconds was one of the best examples that I've ever learned.
Well, he probably was doing something that I talk about a lot on the show, Stuart, and that is learning how to say, what did we learn? Because I think, redemption is one of the most important management skills that a manager can learn. It's easy to fire somebody, but to redeem somebody, that takes a real manager, doesn't it?
That's right, and it takes somebody that can really admit their own mistakes and be fallible, and then have that sympathy for somebody else.
Well, the mistake that you made as an employee, you didn't make it maliciously. You didn't make it without trying. You were probably taking initiative. You were probably giving it your best shot. You probably did the best you could with the information you had, and he saw that.
That's right. That's right. And this was one of those instances where there really wasn't anything to learn, except we tried, and now we have to do something else.
And when he didn't yell at you, he put the pressure back on you, didn't he?
That's right.
So you learned more by his silence than you would have if he'd lectured you, didn't he?
That's right. It felt like a partner. I felt like there was somebody that was treating me as an equal, and something happened that neither of us could prevent, and no problem.
You got to learn how to say, what did we learn, as long as the person who made the mistake was giving it their best shot. They were trying hard. Stuart, what else? We got about a minute. We got a lot of young entrepreneurs out there. And I say young, meaning that they're starting in they're young in their entrepreneurial career. What would you like to say to them?
Just how to, so many people need to slow down to learn. They need to be able, everybody wants success, and when you're young, you're very ambitious and have all this energy. And to try to channel that energy into really learning what business that you're going to do before you actually start it.
But you also say that you should have a big ego.
Well, you need to have that. See, that's the point, is that you've already got the big ego because you're going to start the business. So now you got to hold yourself back to be able to learn so that ego gets put in the right place.
Ego and debt creates a dangerous cocktail, doesn't it? Huh?
When you have these creative entrepreneur personality types, it's almost like you're always trying to avoid your own danger. You're always trying to see what your own faults are, and then be able to avoid those when you can.
The book is called Confessions of a Serial Entrepreneur, and the website, go ahead and give it to us again, Stuart.
It's StuartSkorman.com.
S-K-O-O-R M-A-N. Stuart, thank you for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Stuart Scoreman, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. Right back with Macy Davis. She's with the NFIB. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.